Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in. We appreciate you doing so. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment about something we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us. You can do so by the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the East Abbotville Church of Christ that meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 will come together for a period of Bible study. We would like for you to come and to be with us. We'll be studying, as again, we call it Bible study for that very simple reason. It is just a study of what the Bible teaches. We would urge you to come. You would be an honored guest. And certainly we would like for you to do so. If you see or hear anything that you have a question about, we'll certainly encourage you to ask your questions. If we cannot give you a Bible answer for it, then it's something that's said or done that we don't need to be saying or doing. But we need to be able to give you a Bible question, for your Bible question, a Bible answer for everything that we believe and practice. If you're completely unable to come to the services, we want you to know, too, that you can see and hear the Bible study at www.eastalbertville.org. You can click on the live feed at 7 o'clock, and you will be taken to a site where that you can both see and hear the Bible study. If you're familiar with Facebook, we also have a channel on Facebook, and also a Facebook page, rather. And if you're on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. So there's three avenues by which you might be able to both see and hear the Bible study tonight, if it's not at all possible for you to come. So we urge you to keep this in mind. You know, you don't hear many parents naming their newborn girl Jezebel. It's a name that carries a certain stigmatism. And that's not to say, of course, that it's impossible to have an honorable person named Jezebel or Delilah or Judas. But for right or wrong, such names do conjure up certain images in people's minds, and the average parent, I think, would be wise to just as soon not have their children burdened with unnecessary social barriers. I suspect that Jezebel is a figurative name for the woman that we read about in Thyatira. She is rebuked so strongly by the Lord. Let's read there in Revelation 2, beginning with verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all of the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not had this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my words unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here we see that there are some that have suggested that this Jezebel might not even have been a woman at all. Perhaps the term refers to a divisive element within the church. But regardless, Jezebel was having an impact for evil on the church, and the church was allowing it to be so. Jesus tells him in no uncertain terms that he has no tolerance either for her or for her followers. We know that the real Jezebel was the Phoenician princess that married King Ahab of Israel, and she brought with her the pagan gods of her homeland. But yet we know that the true God of heaven is described himself as a jealous God. Notice in Exodus chapter 20 what we read in verse 5. God said, "You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." The same expression is made in Joshua 24, verse 19, and Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. God is a jealous God. He's always demanded not just primary, but singular devotion from his worshipers. And that was, of course, the very first of his Ten Commandments, specifically stated as such. Going back there to Exodus 20, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." And then he makes the statement, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, because I am a jealous God." So we see exactly how a church could justify tolerating a teacher who would encourage acts of fornication and idolatry, as verse 20 in Revelation 2 mentioned. That is certainly a mystery. The solution may, and no doubt is, referred to in verse 24 in the statement there that is found, "the depths of Satan," or as one translation puts it, "the deep things of Satan." You know, one religious philosophy that's been promoted by various ones over the years, perhaps including Jezebel, is that we must know what it is to be truly depraved if we're to have a proper understanding of what God's done for us. Well, if licentiousness, pure and simple, that's what it is. A thinly disguised attempt to justify living the depraved, sinful lifestyle that we all know, just from this passage as well as so many other passages in the Bible, that God truly condemns that kind of lifestyle. We read in verses 22 and 23, Jezebel was to be cast upon a bed of sickness and her children killed. And of course, this is symbolism of her being exposed and of her being punished. And those who went along with her heresy, they would be punished along with her. Now, whether this refers to literal physical punishment inflicted through the powers of the Holy Spirit, or just to spiritual punishment that would be inflicted after the day of judgment, the basic message still is clear. God will not tolerate rebellion against his will, as his people sometimes do. It says our Lord rules with a rod of iron, shattering the enemies as easily as he would so clay jars, clay pots. That's what we read though in verse 27 of Revelations 2. Well, verse 27 is a quote from Psalms 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, this doesn't cause fear in the hearts of those who stay within the bounds of his will, as had obviously many and most of the saints had in Thyatira, but it certainly should give a cause of concern to the rebels, those brethren who freely substituted their own judgment and rule for his. You see, while in the flesh, our Lord condemned those that mimicked the attitude that was so prevalent in Isaiah's day. Jesus made the statement in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, "This people honors me with their lips." Let's just go over to Matthew 15 and read it. There, beginning with verse 9. Well, let's go back up to verse 7. "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" That's what those in the church at Thyatira were guilty of, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That has, and it always will, render our worship vain. And this is why it's so important for us to have book, chapter, and verse, as we often say, for the things that we teach and practice. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." So if we speak as the oracles of God, we need not to worry about overstepping our bounds. And that if, on the other hand, we go beyond our proper role and we take lead in the matter of making laws and commandments, friends, that's a role that's reserved for Jesus Christ. Then when we do that, we are guilty of what John speaks of in 2 John. No chapters in 2 John, but in verse 9. "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." See, making laws, making rules in religion, that's the role of Christ. And if we begin to do such, then we do not have God. John also, in the third epistle of John, again, a book that doesn't have any chapters, but in verses 9 through 11, he spoke of a man by the name of Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence in the church. You know, it very well could be that we have too many Diotrephes in the church today. That is, those who like being in charge of things. People who like to be the boss. But friends, that attitude, it's holy and it's completely incompatible with the Spirit of Christ. See, the one thing that a Christian can never be is the boss. That job is already filled and there's no applications being accepted for it. Too many of us can tell horror stories of congregations that turn on the opinion of one or two influential ones and saw fit to promote their own prideful ambition, all of that at the expense of the cause of Christ. James tells us in James chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse 1. "Why do wars and fightings come among you? Do you not come upon your desires for pleasures at war in your members? See, God refuses to tolerate rebellion. And woe be to the church that is more open-minded than God." Our time is up. We thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.